Welcome everyone to our first service on this summertime day. Welcome. If you're watching online, we welcome you, but we tell you it's better to be here in person if you are within range. So we welcome everyone today. Today, I want to focus on a small and powerful four-letter word, safe. And I'm going to ask this lots of times today, are you safe? It's important to ask the question. Do you feel safe here today? When you came in, pulled in the parking lot, walked in the building. Would you have come if you didn't feel safe? Are you safe in public? You go to a movie theater, you go to a ball game, you go to the mall, or you go to church. Just two Sundays ago, there was a church in Michigan where people came to assemble to worship God, and some guy pulls into the parking lot, gets out with a weapon, walks toward the door. He's going to kill, steal, and destroy in a church. The story is his mom goes to church there, and he goes to kill, and one of the people who attends the church, at least the way I understand the story, is also pulling into the parking lot at the same time in a Ford F-150, and he rams the guy. He sees him. So he hits the guy, and a gunfire ensues with some of the security team there in the church, and one of the security people was shot in the leg, and the guy was killed. He didn't get in to do what he wanted to do. So I say that to ask you a question. Do you feel safe here today? Do you think God offers his followers safety? Do you think he does that? Maybe here's a second question. If God offers his believers, his children, safety, are there conditions to that safety? Are there conditions? Do we live in an unsafe world? Yes, it's increasingly unsafe. So I want you to notice one of God's early promises to his people. It's an offer of safety. But listen, as I read it, you've got to get this truth. There is a condition to the safety. He offers safety. He said, I'll protect you. But there's a condition. Leviticus 25:18. Follow my decrees. Here, put it up on the screen. Leviticus 25:18. Follow my decrees. Be careful to obey my laws. Are you seeing it? Follow my decrees. Be careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in the land. And then the land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and live in what? What's that word? Safety. The offer of safety was connected to the words follow and obey. There were conditions to the safety. If you'll follow me and obey me, I will provide you safety in the land. So I say it again. We live in an unsafe world, and God offers to his people safety. But what does that mean, really? Because of the words follow and obey, they both are telling us something that we got to come down to the root. If you're following him and you're obeying him, you are close to him. You don't follow him and obey him when you're far away from him. You follow him and obey him because you're standing up next to him. And let me just cut to the chase. What do you think the safest place in all the universe is? Right up next to him. And if up next to him is equivalent to following him and obeying him. There is safety with God, but there is no safety apart from God. So are you safe? If that's the standard of safety, are you safe? The safest place you will ever be is next to God, under the shelter of his wings. And now I realize that doesn't feel safe all the time. But following and obeying is equivalent to a closeness with God. This is an unsafe world. But why? If we say it's an unsafe world because there's nuts out there. It's not about the nuts. The Bible says we're not in a fight against flesh and blood enemies. That man that was trying to go and shoot up a church, he is under a demonic spirit influence. We are in a spiritual war. There is a spirit power that is bringing people to these destructive acts. There is a spiritual battle that's raging. And behind that battle is Satan himself. His power has a purpose: kill, steal, and destroy. He is the adversary of God, and there is no safety in him or near him. So here comes the question again. Right now, today, if the issue is follow and obey, I'll give you safety. Are you safe? Do you feel close to God? Do you feel that that closeness is a protection, a security field around you and your family? Satan is a liar. And I want to give you an example of one of the tools he uses from the scripture. One of the tools he uses. He's a liar, and one of his lies is that there is safety and security in him. And you got to get this truth. If you're going to look for safety and security in Satan, in the world is in Satan. They are the same. If you're going to find safety and security in the things of the world, you have to realize that you have departed from God already. Because God is not the God of this world. Satan is the God of this world. So if you're looking for safety and security in the things the world offers, you better look and see where you're standing, because you're not necessarily close to God anymore. You're looking for security in the wrong reason. Can money keep you safe? That's a worldly security, so it's real. Can money keep you safe? Can you say, well, I've got enough money, so I feel safe and secure about my future because I've got a lot of money, I got a 401k, I got a retirement plan, I've got... Do you feel safe because of your financial security? Can money keep you safe? Jesus says this: it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why would he say that? Because it's not safe. It's not safe to trust your life, your security, your family to the things of this world. I've often thought about this simple truth. If you've been here for very long, you know I don't talk about money hardly ever. I don't. In fact, it's been years since I talked about money in this church. So nobody's ever going to accuse this preacher of talking about money. In fact, you might accuse me, he never brings it up. But let me give you something I find interesting. I have always found, at least when I came to spiritual maturity, that tithing is a test. And tithing is a test to see where I seek security. It's a test in my life. My wife and I started tithing so many years ago, I don't even remember. And we tithe on our gross. I'm not bragging. I have a testimony that we found out that there is no security in the world. There is none there. If you want to find your safety and security in the world, you have already been deceived. And you've stepped away from God, who is safety and security. And you know what a test looks like? Give him the first fruits of your harvest and say, I'll give you the first fruits of my harvest, because I believe that that is what following and obeying looks like to you, and you will be my security and you will be my safety. I trust you more than I do financial security, because financial security in this world, Jesus says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than to put your trust in this world's wealth. So it's a test. How y'all doing so far? Some of y'all give me that eye. See, he said he never talked about it, but he just did. Satan's been speaking that lie since the Garden of Eden. You know what it looks like? there is safety and security in rebellion and sin. No, there isn't. Nothing safe about it. He's been speaking it since the Garden of Eden, and since God gives birth to the nation of Israel in the time of Abraham. And God enters into a covenant relationship with Abraham. And listen, I read it to you. It is a covenant of safety. You follow me, you stay close to me, I will protect you. I will supernaturally put a protective hedge around you, my people. It's a covenant of safety in the very presence of God. I will shelter you. I love this scene. He says, I will shelter you under the shadow of my wings. Well, you're not going to find any shelter under the shadow of his wings if you are far away from him. You find shelter in the closeness to him. So are you safe? Satan is a false god that offers a false safety in the very absence of God. You know what it's called in the Bible? Idolatry. It's called idolatry. So are you safe? He wants to lure you, and that's how the world operates. Satan is the god of this world. He wants to lure you through the things of the world away from God and find your security in the world, and he's already laid the foundation of idolatry. That's what idolatry is, and God hates idolatry. It's the first and second commandment. He hates it. Why? Because it's not safe. Idolatry is not safe. Idolatry is taking God's presence and moving it away and placing a substitute next to us, thinking that the substitute, the things of this world, will make us safe and secure, but real safety and security has been shoved to the side. And money, this tithing thing, it's not about money. Do you think God needs money? It's not about money. It's about the fact that when he lures away your financial security to the world, he has taken your heart and lured it away. He lures it away. Money's just an example. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of evil. Money in itself's not evil. It's the root of evil because he can lure you away with finding safety and security in money or wealth or positions or things of the world. So this is an example of an unsafe transaction. So now I'm going to get to the details. If you study the Bible, you find ancient Israel receiving an offer of safety from the Creator God. Follow me, obey me, I'll be your protector, I'll keep you safe from this world. So I want to read to you what it looks like if you say no. And the reason I say that is I think much of American culture has said no to the safety and protection of God. There's probably people inside this room right now that's also you. Leviticus 26, 23. I read to you earlier, chapter 25, the offer of safety. If you'll follow and obey me, I'll be your safety. You'll live in a land safety. I will protect you. But what if you don't? What if you say, no, I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to obey you. I'm going to rebel against you. Verse 23. And if you fail to learn the lesson and continue your hostility toward me, then I myself will be hostile toward you. That doesn't sound safe to me. I will personally strike you with calamity seven times over for your sins. And I will send armies against you to carry out the curse of the covenant you have broken. And when you run to the towns for safety, I will send a plague to destroy you there. And you will be handed over to your enemies. And I will destroy your food supply so that 10 women will need only one oven to bake bread for their family. They will ration your food by weight. And though you have food to eat, you will not be satisfied. If in spite of all this, you still refuse to listen, I want you to think about American culture right now when I read this to you. If in spite of all of this, you still refuse to listen and remain hostile toward me, you refuse to follow me, you refuse to obey me, then I will give full vent to my hostility. I, God, will punish you 7 times over for your sins. And then you will eat the flesh of your own sons and daughters. You want to talk about starvation? You will eat the flesh of your children. And I will destroy your pagan shrines and knock down your places of worship. And I will leave your lifeless corpses piled on top of your lifeless idols. And I, God, will despise you. I will make your cities desolate and destroy your places of pagan worship. I will take no pleasure in your offering that should be a pleasing aroma to me. Will a nation that becomes hostile toward God, refusing to repent of their sin, live safely under God's protection? Let me ask the question. What I just read to you, do you understand this is God's chosen people? And he says, if you remain hostile toward me, refuse to acknowledge me, refuse to obey me, refuse to follow me, and follow after the world, if you do that, I will become hostile toward you. Will a nation, Israel or America, that becomes hostile toward God, refusing to repent of sin, will they live in safety? No. He says no, not me. He says no. Who doesn't want safety? Who doesn't want to live in a secure place and live a secure life? Are you safe right now? That's not the real question, is it? The real question is, where can I find real and lasting safety and security? Where? This safety is not an illusion. It is a physical and a spiritual reality for all who will follow and obey God. This safety is not the denial of evil. Some people just want to deny the reality of evil. No, that's not what I'm talking about. It's a recognition of evil and the power of God to overcome evil. Evil is dangerous because evil is unsafe. If you mess with evil, it's unsafe. Here's a psalm from King David, Psalms chapter 3. King David says this, I lay down and slept, yet I woke in safety, for the Lord, while I was sleeping, was watching over me. Is that safe? I am not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. Who would have the audacity to say, I'm one guy and there's 10,000 around me who want to kill me, but I'm not afraid? Who would have such audacity? He believes that God is his safety. Are you safe? We're getting real. We're getting to the real part, okay? Do you lay down? Are you fearful about the things around you? Is there an enemy all around us right now? Yes, yes. I believe in the spiritual war, and I believe the spiritual war is intensifying, by the way. Yes, but I'm not afraid because the Lord is watching over me. Are you safe? God offers his protection. God offers his safety and security under the shadow of his wings. But there's a condition to that offer. Understand, he's not trying to make a deal. He is the deal. Follow me, obey me, put your trust in me, and I will protect you. Listen to how God describes his safety toward the people of Israel. Deuteronomy 32:10. He found them in a desert land. God found Israel. Israel didn't find God. In an empty, howling wasteland, he surrounded them and he watched over them. He guarded them as he would guard his own eyes. Like an eagle that rouses her chicks and hovers over her young, so he, God, spread his wings to take them up, and he carried Israel, carried them safely on his pinions. Now that's safety. Do you want shelter and safety under the shadow of God's holy presence? Do you want that? Is that the desire today? I'd like to have him protect me and my family and my children. Do you think there's shelter and safety anywhere else in this dangerous world? This is our issue today. It was the issue in the time of Abraham. It's the issue today in the church. This is an issue of faith. It's always been a matter of faith. Do you believe God? Do you follow and obey God? Are you safe? Those two words are linked to God's safety. Follow, obey equals safety. So I've got four questions. We're gonna jump into four questions. Here we go. Here's what we're doing today. Is it safe to believe God in an unbelieving world? Is it safe to not believe God and join the unbelieving world? Is it safe to obey God when everybody around you isn't? And is it safe to not obey God, to join the rebellion? Is it safe? There's four safes in there. I know a lot of people have terrible childhood memories. They've had, maybe didn't have a father in the home, or maybe the father was not a good father. But, you know, I've been blessed to have not only an incredible father, but grandfather as well. And I, when I was writing this sermon and going through this sermon, something came to me. I had this memory. I can see me and my grandfather, Arthur Cooper, sitting in front of his house, which is the property next to where I live now. And I'm sitting in one of those flimsy old web chairs that always broke, sitting in front of his house. And you know what he's teaching me? Just me and him. He's teaching me the 91st Psalm. What a legacy. He's teaching me. He pretty much had it memorized. He memorized it in the King James Version, but he pretty much had it memorized. And I didn't know it then, but it didn't take long after he was gone that I recognized that he was teaching me about safety and security under the shelter of God's wings. And I was going to need that in the future. And he was sowing seeds into my life. He's sowing life into me, my grandfather. So I want to read to you what he taught me in the front yard when I was a young man. Psalms chapter 91. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers, and he will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though a thousand fall at your side, listen carefully. Though a thousand fall at your side and 10,000 are dying all around you, these evils will not touch you. Whoa. Just open your eyes. See how the wicked are punished. And now comes, listen, two conditional statements. You know what a conditional statement is? That means now you bear responsibility for this covenant. If, that's a conditional statement. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You won't stub your toe. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You'll crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will rescue those who love me. It's a covenant promise. I will protect those who trust in my name when they call on me. I will answer. I will be with them in trouble, and I will rescue and honor them, and I will reward them with what? What's the reward? I will reward them with long life, and I, at the end of their life, will give them my salvation. My granddaddy taught me that when I was a young man. You know what got me? Now, let's fast forward. Some of you won't like this part. But stay with me. You know what got me through COVID? That chapter. That's what got me through COVID without fear. I know a lot of people, COVID, terrified. I buried several people in this church during COVID. I understand COVID. But what got me through COVID without being afraid and not turning to the world for help, but turning to God for help, was that chapter. I believed God wrote that for us too. What got me through COVID was not a vaccine. What got me through COVID was Psalms chapter 91. My trust was in Him and only in Him, and on that I took a stand. On that our eldership here at the church took a stand. If you look back at those horrible times, we closed the church for 8 weeks. And then our eldership, our leadership got together and said, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? Open the church. I don't care what the government says. Open the church. People got so mad at me, they sent me emails and said, you're killing people. Really? You think it's dangerous to come and worship the God who created you? You think that's dangerous? What's dangerous is following the world into the darkness. That's dangerous. You know, the truth is many people left the church during that, never came back. Many of them were faithful people. When I asked them why, and said, you put the church, your decisions made put the church, the people at risk. Really? Are you safe? It comes down to this fundamental question today. To where will you seek safety and security in this world? Where? What? How? Do you want to live in safety? Why is that an issue of faith? Because the safety, now here we go. Because the safety of God does not always look safe. Let me tell you what the church elders announced. If you were here when we came back, we announced we're coming back. Here's what I said. I remember standing up here and saying, for 8 weeks, we went on defense. The church was never called to be on defense. The church was called to be on offense. And starting today, we're back on offense. We're moving forward. We were not called to back up. We were called to move out. And we're back on offense. We're open. You make a decision. Now, listen. Since then, the church has never stopped growing. And Bob Russell and I had a conversation a few weeks ago when he was here preaching, and he said, you cannot imagine nationwide how many churches never recovered from COVID. Never recovered. Many of them closed. Many of them could never get back their pumps primed again. Why? Because they remained on defense when God called them to stay on offense. And why would you stay on offense during COVID? Because I believe that safety will not come from this world, will not come from government, will not come from vaccines, will not come from doctors. Our safety will come from God. And some of you, even right now, some of you are clapping, some of you are you're grinding your teeth. And I'm asking you, do you want safety? Where are you going to get it? I want to repeat verses 14 through 16. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. And when they call on me, I will answer, and I will be with them in trouble, and I will rescue and honor them, and I will reward them. I will. Who's got the power to carry that out? And I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation. So let me give you some examples, because let's get practical. What about Moses walking up to Pharaoh and telling him, I want you to release all your free labor and give them a severance package out of Egypt's wealth because we're leaving. Does that look safe? I've often wondered, every time I read the story of Moses and Pharaoh, you know, it always comes to my mind. Number one, why didn't Pharaoh just kill him? You ever think about it? It's a logical question. Pharaoh has got this big army and Moses has got a stick. Why didn't Pharaoh just kill him? Plague after plague, just kill him. He can't. Why? Moses is under the protection of God. He can't do it. He can't do it. What about David when he walks over toward Goliath? Does that look safe? Anybody listening? Does that look safe? Is this concept of following God comes with practical reality? If you're going to follow him, then you have to follow him. You have to be under the influence of his will. So Moses, go to Egypt. David, go take care of Goliath. Does that look safe? What about Daniel when he prayed at a time when prayer was outlawed by the government? They outlawed it, kind of the whole COVID thing. They outlawed it. What'd he do? He prayed anyway. Does that look safe? What about those three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They refused to bow down to the golden statue of the most powerful man on earth, Nebuchadnezzar. And even when Nebuchadnezzar calls them in and gives them a chance to recant, okay, I'll let you bow now. They said, can't do it because we follow another God. We follow another God. We can't bow to you. That'd be a violation of our God. Does that look safe? Did any of that change? Okay, preacher, that's the Old Testament. Did any of that change in the New Testament, in the church age? No. What about Peter and John? They were told to stop preaching the name of Jesus or they're going to get the same thing he did, which is death. And you know what they did? They just kept on preaching. Is that safe? They just crucified their leader. And they said, we're going to give you some of that if you keep preaching in his name. And they kept preaching in his name. Is that safe? Why would they do it? What about Stephen? Stephen, who stood in front of the Jewish council and told them that they had crucified the Savior of the world. Did that look safe? They're the very people, that council, it's the very ones that put Jesus to death. And now he's laying that guilt on them, is that safe? It wasn't safe. Or was it? Are you safe? They stoned Stephen, and some people would say, see, I told you that wasn't safe. Now, this is big. What I'm about to show you is big. I hope you have eyes to see it today. Acts 7:54. This is Stephen's story. The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusation, and they shook their fists at him in rage. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, you can't get closer than that. All right? He's under the shelter of the shadow of the wings. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven, and he saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus. Jesus is with him. He actually sees Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he told them, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Then they put their hands over their ears and began shouting. They rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He fell to his knees shouting, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And with that, Stephen died. Is that safe? preaching the truth, was that safe? What if you preach the truth and they refuse to accept it and they become very angry? Is that safe? Did you notice where Stephen was standing while he's preaching? Did you notice where Stephen was standing when the rock started hitting him in his face and in his body? Did you notice? Stephen was standing next to Jesus. Everybody listen. Where's he standing? What is his circumstance when he's preaching? What is his circumstance when the crowd turned against him? He's standing next to Jesus. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He sees Jesus. He's with Jesus. Jesus is right there with him. Stephen is following and obeying the call of God through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask you, looking at that story, knowing that story, is that safe? Are you safe? In the crowd that day, you got some holding rocks and you got one preaching. And let me ask you, in that crowd, who is safe? The world would say the crowd, the rock holders are safe. God would say, no, there was only one guy safe in the whole bunch. Stay with me. Verse 55. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven. And he saw the glory of God. He saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. He told them, look, 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 I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit, and you can't get that from being far away from those wings. It's not that Stephen, listen, here's an important spiritual truth. It is not that Stephen had more of the Holy Spirit than those around him. It's that the Holy Spirit had more of Stephen. There it is. Stephen hadn't given some of his life to God. If you look at this story, one thing is absolutely positively clear. Stephen had not given some of his life to God. He had given it all of his life, even unto death, to God. And I'm asking you today, I'm asking you, is that safe? To give all of your God. What if the people around you are hostile? Is it safe to give all of your life to God and follow God in a hostile world? I've been listening recently to a lot of old Billy Graham sermons. I still love his preaching. There's an XM channel that just has constant Billy Graham sermons, and I've been listening to them. And the other day, Billy Graham told a story about this old guy who had never been on an airplane, didn't trust airplanes, didn't trust airlines at all, never flew, but his family finally talked him into taking a trip with the family to go somewhere. He was very reluctant, didn't want to do it. So after the plane landed safely on the other side, his family said, see, Granddad, that wasn't so bad. And he looked at them and he said, but I got to tell you, I never put my full weight in that seat. And that describes a lot of people in the church. The reality is this, you come and you sit down in the presence of God, but you never put your full weight in the chair. You like keep one hip off to the side just in case that chair's not going to catch you and hold you. You got to put your full weight in here. Where do you want to be standing on the last day? That's the Stephen story to me. Where do you want to be standing on the last day? What do you want to be looking at? What do you want to be seeing on the last day? What did Stephen see on his last day? Verse 56. And he told them, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. My wife and I attended a conference, an Operation Christmas Child conference in Dallas, Texas, back in 2015. One of the speakers at that conference was a guy named Dr. Kent Bradley. Some of you will remember his name. He's the first American to contract Ebola, that deadly disease. He was in Liberia, West Africa, while serving as a Christian medical missionary with Samaritan's Purse. At that time, Ebola was considered incurable contagious, and absolutely fatal. But by God's grace, Kent Bradley survived Ebola. In that conference, he was the speaker, and he told us that someone had questioned him before moving to Liberia about the logic. Here's the question. They questioned him about the logic of him being a Christian medical missionary in such a remote, unsafe place like Liberia. Was it safe for you to take your wife and children with you? Listen carefully. Here's the key point of the story. Was it safe for you to take your wife and kids with you to Africa in that mission? And his answer shook me to my soul. I'm gonna put it up on the board here. Here's what he said in response. It's probably much safer than leaving them in the United States, where they will more than likely be totally consumed by materialism. I was so shook by his answer that I've never forgotten what he said. The safest place does not always look like the safest place. See, from his perspective, it would be safer to expose his family to Ebola than it would be for them to live a comfortable life in a place where materialism would choke the life out of them and they're dying and not even know they're dying. The call of Jesus to come follow me does not always look safe. And when I heard him say that, and in light of today's message, I hear Jesus saying what people hear, but they don't hear. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why is it? Because you start putting your trust and your security in something, someone besides God. I remember John Hagee said something years ago. He says this. He said, tithing is the only proof that you have that the cancer of greed has not already consumed your soul. Anybody listening? I said earlier that tithing is a test. It's not about money. If you think it's about money, you still don't get it. Tithing is about where you will seek security in this insecure world. My trust is in God, so I take the first fruits of my harvest and I make an offering to God. Tithing is the only proof that you have is that the cancer of greed hasn't already got you. If you can't give it away, be careful. Be careful. Why can't you? Tithing is a test. Materialism. You know what materialism, when Dr. Kent Bradley said that much of America has been swallowed by materialism. Do you know what materialism is? It's covetousness. Do you know what covetousness is in the New Testament Bible? Idolatry. God hates it. Why? It's unsafe. What if he had not gone to Liberia? Was that safe? Anybody listening? He's under the Holy Spirit. What if he'd not gone to the library? Is that safe? What if he had thought it was unsafe to follow and obey the Holy Spirit? Some of you would immediately answer, but what if he had died, preacher? Then ask the church of the first century. Stephen died. Stoned to death for preaching. Was that safe? Paul died. Beheaded in Rome. Was that safe? Peter died, crucified upside down. Was that safe? History tells us that all the apostles died a martyr's death except John. Was that safe? That hasn't stopped. There's cases after cases. It's still happening. Everybody knows the story of Jim Elliot. He's speared to death by the very people he's trying to save. Was that safe? Was that a safe trip? Just what, last week, week before last, all these Nigerian Christians are being executed day by day by day by day by day by Muslim extremists coming in. You're Christian, you're Christian, you're Christian. Confess, convert to Islam or die. They won't convert to Islam, so they execute them. Men, women, children, kill them all. Is that safe? It's happening now. It's in the news now. Everybody does. And let me ask you, here's the big question today. Everybody dies. Do you know that? Do you know anybody at 130? I don't either. Everybody dies. Is that safe? Is dying safe? Whoa. Is dying safe? Are you safe? Leviticus 25:18, my original text. Follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in the land. Then the land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and live there in safety. What land? What safety? What fruit? Is this just a physical reality, or is this also a spiritual reality? Everyone dies. And I'm going to ask you a question. Listen carefully. Is it safe to die? The world says no. The followers of Jesus says yes. And there is the truth of today. Is it safe to die? John 11:25. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Is that safe? And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And Martha, the sister of Lazarus in this scene, says, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. This is where it starts. Well, do you? Do you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world? Then you will never die. Your body might die, but you are not a body. You are a soul. You will never die. Is that safe? I proclaim to you the ultimate safe today. You will never die. Go ahead. Try to find me something more safe than that. I'll give you a second. You will never die. Do you believe this? Every believer receives the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit always comes to remove our fears and give us power, love, and a sound mind to overcome this dark and dangerous world. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to read you the scripture, but I want you to understand the scripture. Every believer receives the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not a believer. Every believer receives the Holy Spirit. It's the mark of God's ownership in your life. And when he gives you the Holy Spirit, he also gives you power, love, and self-discipline, a sound mind, so that you can navigate the dark world we live in and not be afraid all the time. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So right now, if you have a fearful heart, it's not coming from God. It's coming from the adversary of God. Or you're not a believer. And if you're not a believer, you've got a whole lot of things to be afraid of. God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity. We don't shrink back. We're not going on defense. We're on offense. He's given us power, love, and self-discipline. Today, are you living under the power and purpose of the Holy Spirit? And I'm asking you, if you're living under the power and purpose of the Holy Spirit, I'm asking you, is that safe? Is it safe where you're living your life right now? Are you safe? There's only one safe place that is under the shelter, and that's under the shelter of the wings next to Jesus. As I read this next verse, I ask you, can you find me a safer place than this? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 10. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, doesn't matter. When he returns, we can live with him forever. Find me a more safe statement than that. Christ died for me, so whether I am dead and buried or standing upright when he comes, I can live with him forever. I will never die. Is that safe? The world would tell you that it's not safe to follow Jesus these days. holding high Jesus, holding high this name and this word. This is as high as I can hold it. Holding high the name and the word of Jesus will get you in trouble in many places in the world today. The name and the word, two things. Do you know what God values? Those two things. In Revelation 3:8, Jesus writes this to the church at Philadelphia. I know your deeds, church. I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, church, yet you have done two things. You have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. Do you know what God promised the church at Philadelphia in the last days? He promised the church in Philadelphia that if you will hold on to my name in an unsafe world, if you will hold on to my word in an unsafe world, here's what I'll do for you, church. Verse 10, because you have obeyed my command to persevere, you held on to the name, you held on to the word, I will protect you. There's the safety. I will protect you from the great time of testing. I believe that's the tribulation that's coming to the world. I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. Hold on to what? Hold on to the name and the word. Is it safe? I'm telling you today, there is no safety apart from it. None. The world would tell you it's not safe to deny yourself and follow a 2,000-year-old storybook, Jesus. That's what the world says. It's not safe to put all of your life's trust in a 2,000-year-old figure named Jesus. No one's even seen him for 2,000 years. It's beginning to look unsafe to stand on the words of the Bible these days. The world would tell you that it's not safe to take up your cross. The world would tell you it's not safe to bow down and call Jesus master and then follow the master's call wherever he might lead you. The world says all of that's not safe. Follow me. The two words of Jesus have wrecked a lot of lives, and I'm asking you, today, just two words. If Jesus were to stand up in front right now and just say two words to everybody here, I'll ask you, is that safe? To answer yes, and he didn't even tell you yet where you're going, what he's going to call you to do, what you're going to give up, what you're going to gain. Is it safe to follow Jesus? Maybe the bigger question is it safe to not follow Jesus? And here's my closing. Listen carefully. It was in the final days of God transforming my heart and preparing me to quit my job that I had for 17 years. It was in the final days when I was really struggling with saying yes to God's call in my life to follow him and quit my job and go into the ministry. Every day at lunchtime, I would drive over to the park in Harrodsburg. There was a tree there, that big shade tree, and I would sit underneath the tree and I would pray. And I would ask God to lead me. And I was sitting in that tree, under that tree, and that reading that day, guess what, was Psalms 91. And it wasn't just the whole psalm, but it was the ending. There were verses 14 through 16. This was the defining moment for me. When I got to 14, 15, and 16, I knew. And right after that, I went in, I went into my boss's office, and I told him I'm going to be leaving the company, and I'm going to go into the ministry. And he thought I was joking. He thought I was kidding him. I said, no, I'm not joking. And here's what I read that day. Verse 14. Because he loves me. And I'm going to put it in terms of how I read it that day. Terry, because you love me, I will rescue you. See, I'm about to give up. I'm going to give up all my financial security. I got three kids under 16 and a terrified wife. Because you love me, Terry, I will rescue you. I will protect you because you acknowledge my name. You will call upon me and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and I will honor you. And with long life, Terry, I will satisfy you. And at the end of that life, I will show you my salvation. Here's the thing. I believed him. I believed him. In that moment, I believed him. It did not look safe. I'm going to tell you, people around me said, aren't you afraid? And I said, I am terrified. But I fear God more than I fear the choice. I fear saying no to God. It didn't look safe to come to a church that, listen, that church had 27 people in it. These are promises of God. And I had to decide if I believed him. And this is the essence of faith. The essence of faith is you must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You cannot please him without faith. You cannot just say intellectually, I believe there's a God. You can't do it. It's not faith. Faith is believing that he exists. Yes, you start there. But he rewards those who trust him. What? He will cover you under the shelter of his wings. He will save you on the last day. He'll reward you with long life. And in the end of that life, he'll give you salvation. I've concluded then and now. My testimony is this. I'm 25 years on the other side of that sitting under the tree moment. He is faithful. He is faithful. He has done exceedingly more than I would have ever asked or imagined. He is faithful. I'm going to ask Corey to come on out for the invitation. Now, I want to share a story with you while Corey sets up for the invitation. The last time Dr. David Reagan came and preached here, he told a story. Some of you who've been here a while, you'll remember it. He tells a story that greatly illustrates how I'd like to end today. He says, back in the early American frontier days, wagon trains would travel across country and they would go out west. And there were many dangers and many of them didn't make it. Many of them died. All kinds of things happened out in that wilderness prairie on the way to the west. One of the things that happened a lot was prairie fires. And because the land was unsettled, there was all kinds of brush and grass and everything that just grew naturally, and lightning would strike or something would happen and a fire would come across the plains. And here are these wagons that are going across the roads out west, and the fire would come toward them. You couldn't get away from it. And it consumed entire wagon trains. They'd come by later and just find everything burned up, people dead everywhere. So the wagon masters had to find a way to deal with the prairie fires for people to survive the trips. You know how they did it? This is Dr. Reagan's story. They learned that when they saw the smoke of a prairie fire, and here it's coming across the plain, they would go downwind of the wagons and set a fire themselves. And they would let it burn, and then once it burned, they would take all the wagons and put it in the burned out area. And then when the prairie fire came, it would come around them because it's already burned there. There's no fuel, so it would go around them, and the wagon master could save the entire wagon train. What's that got to do? Here it is. 2,000 years ago, the fire and the wrath of God fell upon the cross of Jesus Christ. If you read the book of Isaiah, God's wrath was poured out upon his only begotten son. Fire burned the cross of Jesus Christ. it consumed the anger and wrath of God, consumed his son and the cross. There's one, here's the point. There is one safe place on planet Earth today, is that you come to that burned out cross and stand there by faith. The judgment fire's not coming to that place. It's already burned there. It's not going to burn there again. It's burned there. It is the only safe place. Why? Because the wrath and judgment of God is coming for everyone else. Everywhere else is going to be burned up in a fire, except the place where God's fire already burned. So where are you standing today? Are you safe? A lot of stuff happening in the world today. Are you safe? Where can you find safety? 401k? Stock markets? Where your arsenal? Your bunker? Is that your safety? Medical doctors, governments, where will you find safety? Where are you seeking refuge in an unsafe world? There's only one place. 1,000 may die at my side. Here's Psalms 91. 1,000 may die next to me. 10,000 may die over here all around me. But it will not come near me. It will not come near me. And on this, I take my stand. We offer an invitation. I don't know what a message like this does to you. I know what it does to me. But if you're not safe today, if you are not in Jesus Christ today, securely standing in that burned out place, you must come to the cross to find this safety. And he offers you an invitation today. Let's stand.